When I talked to ornithologist Caroline Van Hemert about her new book, The Sun is a Compass, I asked her if she considers herself a birder.
You know, I've thought about that a lot over the years. I think so, because I would like to think of the term birder as being inclusive rather than exclusive, in part because I think the more that we all associate ourselves with birds in our lives, the better chance birds have of, you know, long-term conservation, because I think the science is important, but ultimately it's the public as a whole who sort of decides our outcome for habitat and all of the things that birds need to persist for hopefully a very long time. But yeah, I am a birder in the sense that I love to look at birds. I keep a working list of what I'm seeing, usually more in a regional sense, so less of a sort of life list and more of these are all the birds I've seen in this area or on this trip. And so I had a working list from our bigger trip as well that's described in the book, and really enjoyed seeing new species and, you know, kind of keeping track of where I saw individual species along the way. That said, I'm not a hardcore birder in the sense that I will rarely take a trip just to go and see birds, but I tend to be more generalist, so I'll go out to places where birds also happen to really like to live and get the chance to have a bit of an adventure as well as seeing a lot of really cool birds along the way. I also get to do a lot of sort of birding as part of my work. So I've done a lot of bird surveys over the years in some really amazing places, mostly in Alaska. And that's been a real treat and a gift.
On this trip, how many species of chickadees did you see?
I saw black-capped chickadee, chestnut-backed chickadee, boreal chickadee, and gray-headed chickadee. So four species in total.
No mountain?
No mountains. We weren't quite in the right area. So we were coastal for most of British Columbia. So yeah, as far as their northern range, we were kind of outside of that.
But gray-headed, and your first experience that you wrote about with the gray-headed chickadees was wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you. That was an amazing kind of gift after a fairly frightening and difficult experience in terms of swimming across this river that was a lot bigger and swifter than we had anticipated. And yeah, it was a pretty special thing to see a species that I don't know that I'll ever see again in North America.
And it wasn't just a gray-headed chickadee. You came upon a family.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I've been a former wildlife rehabber, and so I was especially moved by some of your experiences with the baby rough-legged hawk that Pat took the picture of.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can just say briefly what happened there. So we had gotten to Herschel Island, which is way up on in a little island in the Arctic Ocean on the Canadian side of the border. And we had gotten to Herschel Island where we were getting a resupply that was flown in by a park ranger. And we had a day to kind of rest and recoup and gather all of our supplies and pack up again before leaving. And so we decided to take a little hike around the island, which is in this amazing location. And as we were coming around, there's these mud bluffs that are a pretty characteristic feature along a lot of that Arctic coastline and also on Herschel Island. And there are these steep mud bluffs that are kind of underlain with permafrost. And, you know, I think naturally they erode over time, and that process has sped up quite a bit because of the warmer temperatures in the Arctic now, and also increased storm surge because there's less sea ice protecting a lot of that coast. So anyway, we had seen along the way a lot of other places where gyrfalcons and rough-legged hawks were nesting up on these cliffs, and it's a pretty cool thing because when you come from the tundra, you can actually kind of see the nest, you know, from above, or at least in line with them. And then walking down along the coastline, look up and see, you know, lots and lots of raptors, which was a really cool feature of that coast. But on Herschel Island, we were hiking along the edge of the water at the base of one of these kind of collapsing mud bluffs and came across two downy, rough-legged hawk chicks, and their nest had slid down from far up above, kind of right just above the waterline. And when we encountered them, they were alive, but they were probably, you know, not in great shape for surviving into the future because of where their nest location ended up. And we didn't see their parents around anywhere. There was a headless lemming lying nearby that indicated that they had been provisioned there at some point, but whether that was going to continue, I don't know.
But there was at least hope. The one still looked pretty sturdy.
Yeah. I actually just assumed that they were both dead when we came upon them because they weren't moving and, you know, we saw them in this really unlikely place and then came up closer and saw them looking back at me. And yeah, it was a pretty moving experience for me as well, just in knowing these chicks are vulnerable and beautiful little birds that hopefully will survive. But without seeing their parents, it's hard to know what their outcome would be.
But I was grateful that you saw that headless lemming.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was hope for sure.
Tomorrow, Caroline Van Hemert will tell us about another encounter with baby birds. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.